Bars on Alaska Marine Highway ferries will close to help the state save money. And a warm winter made for an abundant and unusual Christmas bird count in Haines. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Emily Files. Those stories and more up next. The state of Alaska is closing down bars on state ferries this spring as a way to save money. The Alaska Department of Transportation made the announcement today. Angela Denning has more.
The closures will affect the six mainline ferries that service the Southeast region, South Central, and the Aleutians. Jeremy Woodrow is a DOT spokesman.
They're the larger vessels that operate 24/7. They have full bars in each of the vessels that has a dedicated staff person that works in that bar during bar hours.
That includes the ferries Kennecott, Matanuska, Columbia, Tustamina, Malaspina, and the Taku. Woodrow says the bars are a net loss to the state of more than $750,000 annually. He says the department has been looking for ways to save money in the ferry system for years.
We cut gift shops out of the budget last year, and we identified bars last year as well. Though with the reductions in the budget coming up this next year, this was a reduction that we couldn't pass up when trying to find ways to reduce costs of the operating budget.
The closures will affect at least a dozen bartending positions, but Woodrow says they will not let those employees go. They will move them to other jobs. The savings will come by not hiring new positions on the ferries. There will still be alcohol for purchase on the ships. The cafeterias will sell beer and wine during mealtimes, and the bar rooms themselves will be available as lounge space to passengers. The closures will be phased out between March and June as each vessel returns from its annual overhaul this spring. In Petersburg, I'm Angela Denning.
Delta Airlines will fly year-round between Juneau and Seattle starting in May. This is a change from just offering flights during the summer and could signal more Delta service coming to the state in the future. Lisa Fu has more.
Delta Airlines Vice President Mike Medeiros says the response to its one daily flight between Juneau and Seattle was good last summer. So good, Delta decided a couple weeks ago to extend it all year.
It's quite frankly a place that needs some competition, and so we're ready to step in and be able to provide that.
Delta will fly a Boeing 737 during the summer months, which can seat up to 160 people. In September, it will contract with SkyWest, which flies a Bombardier CRJ-900. Medeiros says the 76-seat plane better meets demand during the rest of the year. He says extending service beyond the summer is not a decision Delta made lately.
When we're making a commitment to a market, it's very difficult to pull out. It's difficult on the community, and it's difficult for us to do that.
Delta will also extend seasonal service between Fairbanks and Seattle to year-round and add summer flights from Seattle to Ketchikan and Sitka. Medeiros says the new Southeast Alaska services will be evaluated at the end of the summer.
We'll see how Alaska residents have responded to us. If they respond like they did in Fairbanks and Juneau to the competition, then I think there's a good chance that, you know, it over time could find its way into a year-round pattern as well. But hard to predict that.
Adding additional service to the state of Alaska is part of Delta's expansion in Seattle to connect passengers to international destinations and other hubs within the U.S. Delta has around 95 daily flights from Seattle, almost triple what it had last year. It hopes to grow to around 150 departures in another 2 years. Alaska Airlines spokesman Tim Thompson says the company isn't nervous about Delta's year-round service in Alaska. He says over the years, other airlines have come in and out of the state.
There's always going to be competition in business, and we have to continue to make our business perform just like it has over the past number of years, you know, with an on-time record, a product that people want to fly on, especially Alaskans.
He says he saw little change in passenger numbers from previous summers when Delta wasn't flying from Juneau to Seattle.
For the most part, we still had a lot of Alaskans flying on Alaska Airlines, being able to go in-state and out-of-state as well.
And Thompson doesn't think Delta's year-round service will change that.
I think we have a pretty solid reputation, and we have a pretty good loyalty base here in the state of Alaska.
Travel analyst Scott McMurrin is one of those loyalists, and as a member of its mileage program, likes to rack up Alaska Airline miles.
But there's always part of the market that doesn't care about that. Or they care up to a certain point, especially if I'm traveling with my family or if I'm buying a ticket for an employee. Delta is going to be able to capture some of that market by dropping the price.
Right now, fares between the capital city and Seattle after Labor Day are priced higher than they are in the summer. But McMurrin says, fear not.
To have the competitive force year-round, fares will go down.
He anticipates round-trip fares between Juneau and Seattle in the winter to be comparable to those in the summer and drop to as low as $250. In Juneau, I'm Lisa Fu.
The lack of snow this winter made it easy for a group of Chilkat Valley residents to count birds during their 2014 Audubon Christmas bird count in December. As KHNS's Margaret Friednauer reports, the warmer-than-average season also means some unusual birds were spotted.
This was the 115th year of the National Bird Count and the 7th year the Haines area has participated. Organizer Pam Randles of Tokchinook Watershed Council says she had the highest number yet of volunteers flocking to help during the one-day event. 44 volunteers spent December 27th recording sightings of nearly 5,000 birds and 50 different species. Randall says there were a large number of commonly seen birds counted, like redpolls, siskins, crossbills, and juncos. She attributes that to a plethora of food those species like.
There was a huge pollen year for the spruce trees this year, and then a huge bunch of cones. So the little guys that eat those cones were here in huge numbers. Now, they're always here, but the numbers this year were relatively phenomenal.
With large numbers of those birds, Randall says there was also a high number of raptors counted this year. Raptors feed on the little birds that were sticking around to enjoy the cones. Randall says there were several species spotted that shouldn't be here this time of year. This is the first year an anise hummingbird has stayed near Haines this late into the winter. Rufous hummingbirds are not uncommon to the area, but according to the Cornell Lab of Ornithology, this is the farthest north the anise variety has been spotted after December.
And so I finally called Audubon and said, what? Why do we have, you know, hummingbirds in the middle of the winter? And apparently their range is expanding. The anise range is expanding. And they migrate not by food availability, but by daylight and other factors.
Randall says during the count there were other odd sightings like an Arctic tern. But to make that official, avian experts want to see photo proof. Randall says the anise hummingbird is the only one that's been captured on film locally. Randall says this year's count also illustrates some trends are continuing, like the expanding range of the Eurasian collared dove. She says the species normally has a range south of the Chilkat Valley, but was first spotted in Haines 6 years ago. Last year, a pair of doves wintered in Haines near Young Road. This was the first year they were officially recorded in the bird count. Randall says the continued presence of the doves support the idea that the birds' range is expanding north with climate change.
They've been moving north and west for the last 100 years. Now, their home territory is very much like the weather that we have normally, not this winter, but the normal weather that we have. And so for them to be starting to move in is not surprising, but they are an exotic species, and technically they're invasive. But they will do well here, and they got as far as Delta this year.
Randall says the bird count in the Chilkat Valley is a piece of a larger puzzle, that the range for many species is steadily moving north with warmer temperatures.
Things are changing. Definitely things are changing.
While the bird count is only one day, Randall's keeps track of wildlife and bird sightings throughout the year on the Tokchinook Watershed Council website. She has more information and photos of the anise hummingbird on the Tokchinook site, and she recently took in an injured kingfisher that a fisherman found at the boat harbor. You can see pictures of some of the birds spotted on khns.org with this story. Reporting in Haines, I'm Margaret Friednauer.
More than 200 business leaders, researchers, and policymakers gather in Juneau this week for the 2015 Innovation Summit. The two-day event is a time to listen, discuss, and brainstorm about Southeast Alaska's economic future. Brian Hulst is executive director of the Juneau Economic Development Council, the summit's organizer. He says speakers and participants will focus on new ways of doing business.
These are entrepreneurs and university people and people involved in the business world or supporting business that have experienced innovation in their own work, in their professional work.
The Innovation Summit runs Wednesday and Thursday at Juno Centennial Hall. There is a registration fee. Winners of the Path to Prosperity Innovation Competition will also be announced. For KHNS News, I'm Emily Files. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.